all of the things that separate us, there are so many things in those and so many elements in those that are more alike than not. And we just have to remember to look at the things that are more alike than not.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, in your browser, WFPR.FM. And in the local Franklin Mass FM radio band, yeah, the dial maybe, or the push buttons or the knobs, 102.9 is the number. You can preset it so it's always ready for you. Here in our glorious studio with Amy Adams, otherwise known as Painting Venus, and we're just going to have a conversation today about wind phones, amongst other things, because even as we were talking beforehand, there's a lot of things that kind of come back to that.
Hi, Steve.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to catch up and share and have a conversation, as always.
Absolutely. And we had talked for the listeners' benefit. Maybe 2 years ago, we started teasing about a wind phone that was coming. And then last year, it appeared in Natick.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then now this year, it's appearing in Franklin.
So exciting. I'm really, really, really excited to be sharing this in Franklin with our community, just to overall bring good and healing and love and start having those important conversations that we should have around grief and loss and love and encouragement and upliftment.
Right. So we can elaborate on that, but grief and loss and love, what's the point of the wind phoned and playing in that space? For those who may not, it's like, a wind phone? What are they talking about? A wind phone? What's that?
Yeah, a wind phone is a disconnected phone line that allows you to sort of have a conversation or send a message that is maybe carried by the wind, which is the most frequent way to describe that. But that line is not connected to anything specific. It's mostly used for people that are looking to have a missed conversation that they didn't have or missing conversations that they wish to have with someone that is passed on or that they lost. It was started back in Japan in 2010 by Itaro Sasaki. And he started the wind phone on his own personal property at this great garden, to sort of grieve his own cousin who had passed from cancer. And after the tsunami, probably in about 2011, he opened it up to the public, and it had been visited by people all around the world. So now it's a worldwide
project of sorts.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's built everywhere. There is actually a local mom who started mywindphone.com, and she kind of keeps record of all of the wind phones that are in the country.
I think when we talked before, there was like 6 or 7 in Mass. There's probably more than that now.
I'm going to say ours is on there for Natick, but I actually did not check before interview to see how many others popped up in Massachusetts. I actually did have a few people at our reveal in Natick that was sort of asking how I went about creating it there, what the steps were, and how did I, talk to people just to kind of get the message out. And there's a lot that goes into that. If you are, someone who's just community-minded, and I like to think I am, I decided to weave art into a wind phone. So it's the wind phone, but there is an art element to that, and how to raise awareness around it was for me to create these programmings or conversations or just something as simple as a rock painting just around it so that people know what a wind phone is. We can start these conversations. I found it to be better than just kind of sitting at a booth and waiting for someone to walk up to the table and for you to kind of explain, look, this is coming. I want to put it up. Come visit. This was more an opportunity for people to be involved with not just the elements that are going to surround it, but also make it more personal to them, understand what it's for.
Have skin in the game to help, having built it, constructed it, added to it in some way.
adding to it is important. So that makes it more of a community development as opposed to something that this person put up, and she's an artist, and then so there's also art in there. It really is a, you know, this is a community of love, and I wanted to be able to show that, you know, together we can do this thing, and it's for everybody. It's not just for one person. A lot of the wind phones and no knocking to whoever has done this, but they dedicate it to the one person because obviously it's the reason they put it up. And that's not a bad thing, but I want people to understand that this is for everyone. So I will always dedicate it to the entire community. And then for the introduction this weekend on May 2nd, from 10 to 12 or while supplies last at the Franklin Public Library, we will have rock painting. And that is just so that people are understanding what the wind phone is. You come, you rock paint. I'll talk a little bit about what the wind phone is and where these rocks are going to go.
Sure.
With the hope that you're going to add your splash of love and your color and your uplifting words. These will surround an area of the wind phone. So this is the element that I'm talking about where people kind of get to contribute.
Correct.
To what is going to be in that space.
Yep.
But just also feel a sense of connection so that they know I had a part in this. Yeah, it's a sense of I participated in a little bit of public art here. I contributed to this public art.
I want to go see my rock.
Yeah. So I have more rocks I'm going to bring to this place. And, you know, I hope that when people sit there, they pick up some message that they connected with or a piece of art that they connected with and put it in their own garden.
Right.
You know, that this will be a sort of rotating door for people to go there. It will be located at the Sculpture Park.
Right.
So this is already a place that's known to Franklin, that people visit, that's local. I believe that the idea is to have more people visit the Sculpture Park. So there are sculptures that are going up and that have been recently installed.
Yeah, they've been changing the displays from time to time. Last year, they also had a, for a about 10, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, some poetry on particular banners and stuff that
I
was honored to have been part of.
That's right. Congratulations. That was amazing. Just to even see those up and that other part of art, right, that just gets to be included or that you would normally see out because you would normally see it written somewhere and not necessarily displayed. So that was nice to see a different element. In that park and in that space. It'll be accessible, so it's right near, you know, the parking space and off of the path. And so I'm thinking of, you know, all of the apparatuses that people need to walk with. We're talking about walkers and canes, moms with strollers, they need to take a seat. You know, it is wide enough so that someone with a wheelchair can kind of pull in, even if they're not all the way in, they can be parallel to where that phone is, and it is still accessible for everyone in that way. This way it doesn't pull away from people that actually do need to take a seat. I always think about, like, people that need those walking apparatuses and seniors. I feel like, you know, this forgotten crowd of people in some way that needs that extra love too, where, you know, it's just it's hard for me to stand a little too long.
Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to move in certain ways or distances.
That it is a little hard to just continuously stand. So these things are in place for, you know, there would be a little bench in there. For now, that is the goal, to make sure that it serves everyone, not just, you know, one particular kind of person. So everybody, not just the standing and complete able, you know?
Correct.
So I love that it includes art. I recently got connected with another wonderful artist from town, Margaret Munson.
Yes.
Who we love to call Peg. And she's going to be working with me on creating some of the artwork that's going to go into
that's
the wind phone.
Absolutely, yes.
Wonderful opportunity to collaborate with another artist. She is also in the Franklin Art Association. And I love Peg. Like, if there was anybody to work on this project with, I'm happy to be working with her. So it's exciting. What else can I tell you?
Well, to summarize, at least to take a pause so people can kind of picture effectively without getting into the details of the space. Clearly, it's going to be accessible. But effectively, it's a special space upon which to either sit or stand, pick up a phone, And oh, by the way, there still is a phone there, but it's not connected to anything.
That's right.
But the purpose is to you to have a conversation. So when you pick up a phone, you're going to talk to somebody, and maybe you want to talk to somebody, and then they disappeared and you couldn't talk to them. So you can pick up the phone and talk.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about a little bit being ready.
Sometimes you're ready. Sometimes you're not.
No.
The phone's going to be there when you are ready.
It is. You may not go to the space immediately, or you may find yourself going to the space and not necessarily picking up the phone, but sitting in the space and talking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And not exactly carrying out the motion of picking up. It would work
right.
Either way.
Yeah.
The idea is that space is a place of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And a place for you to do it somewhere else, you know.
Place of safety.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the nature to the extent that the pond is there.
Oh, yeah.
The trees are there. Other art is there.
It'll be lit. There will be people around. But it will still be semi-private.
Yes.
And the idea is that, you know, we want to open the door so that part of the healing that you need to have happen. So you 100% can go in this space and maybe you don't want to talk on phone and you're not ready to mm-hmm. quite have this talk, but being in that space is that first step.
Sure.
There is going to be a list of contact information for you to reach out to people should you need assistance, right?
Sure.
24-hour hotline,
local
grieving centers.
Yep.
Maybe you don't feel like grieving. Maybe you just want to go in this space and sit. That's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not supposed to be exclusive. I want it to be a welcoming space where you recognize it as comfort. And I had used this example once before where, you know, your mom would tell you something and you didn't, like, receive it, but then someone else said it to you and it sounded better.
Finally started clicking.
Yeah, and you believed it because
somebody else said the same thing.
Someone else outside of your normal, out of your normal orbit suggested
right.
it, so
sure.
it must be right, right?
Right, right.
And so... you can always come back to mom and say, yeah, maybe you were right,
mm-hmm.
right? But the point is that space is like not your home.
Right.
Not the place that you're in a normal orbit that you would, you know, see as your place of comfort. You
mm-hmm.
know, maybe it does sound better to go to this other space for a moment
mm-hmm.
And recollect yourself before you can get comfortable enough to do it back at home. Maybe you want to take your show on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your loved one anywhere else,
right.
And that's fine too.
Well, I think that's the point of the accessibility
mm-hmm.
on the one hand,
yeah.
and the readiness on the other hand, because
yeah.
clearly dealing with grief, loss, overwhelmness,
yeah.
We need, as we've talked, to take some time to make some sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can do that in your home. Sometimes you can do that where you make the space for it. But sometimes maybe you just need, you know, the little incentive to go to another safe space.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten plenty of messages and calls since we installed our Natick
mm-hmm.
Space where people are just like, you know, I didn't think that I was going to feel the way I felt. You know, I went into this space and it was nice wind phone and
yeah.
there's a phone and, you know, I get it. I know what it's for. But then you find yourself actually, you
mm-hmm.
know what? What if this is a phone call I could have?
Right.
Maybe this is an opportunity for me to talk and maybe you're ready to process it and maybe you're not. Maybe it's just a start.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that you start to kind of dig in a little bit and
mm-hmm.
just see how you feel in the space. You know, you go to the space and maybe I'll have this phone call now. Or maybe I'm just going to sit and talk.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Steps towards the readiness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Readiness takes time. I mean, everybody is not at the same place. Everybody grieves differently. Some people will take years before they even open a tub of clothes to
to start to process
getting rid of stuff, you know. But I feel like feelings are kind of the same. We sort of pocket them to protect ourselves and we put things in places
mm-hmm.
until we're ready to go back to that and
right.
and say, okay, maybe this wasn't the time for it,
mm-hmm.
but it is now. Maybe, you know, I can talk about it now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So I want that to be a space of peace and comfort and welcome.
Yeah, and while it's clearly designed, at least in terms of the release, May is Mental Health Month, it'll be there because mental health really doesn't have a boundary. It's not only in the month.
Exactly.
Especially with what's going on in the world, it seems like we need more of that every single day.
Exactly. It is acknowledged for May, but we don't have a concrete date as of yet. So if it doesn't happen in May, it's coming.
It's coming.
You should know it's in the works.
Right.
We definitely have so many people working on this. Corey Shea with her very long cultural arts department. I probably butchered that. But
arts and culture and the creative economy.
Yeah, thank you. She's got a lot that she's bringing forth to the town and is working with the sculpture.
Talk about juggling.
Part.
Yeah, she's a juggler.
She's got a lot of balls in the air. So, you know, once we get a concrete date, I'm sure she'll announce, and I'll do the same just so that the public is aware of when that's coming, so that we can celebrate it. Really, it's about celebrating the space. It's not about making it a very sad thing. For lots of culture, grief and loss is associated with also just a release and kind of guiding your loved one into a good place, not necessarily sadness. Yes, we're sad because they're not here with us, but I think a lot of this is...
That's part of our internal handling of that.
Right.
There's a sadness, but there needs to be some celebration of that as well.
Right. There are also celebrations of life, and I think that it's important to note that, once we acknowledge how we feel about it and how we can sort of welcome other people into the fold, that it will help more than just our moment, ourselves, and how we break things down. So,
I recall in your Natick installation, you had a good story around the butterflies. Will there be some butterflies in this one, too?
Oh, there will always be butterflies. There will always be butterflies. We'll definitely make sure a lot of those tokens that are symbolic representations of our, loved ones are still in the artwork. We want some of those things to really come through as, here. And, of course, there are tons of tokens, and we're not going to get them all.
No. And that, I think, enables the community, to the extent that you've got the painted rocks. They can paint a rock with a token for what's important for them.
Right. Maybe your token is an elephant, and you're going to turn that beautiful pebble into an elephant. I don't know.
Whatever.
But whatever it is, you're right. I think it's meant to be open to interpretation, but the idea is still the same. It really is just, okay, this is a moment. I'm going to take this. I'm going to, have this second, and, maybe you love it, and maybe you come back to it often. That's kind of my hope, is that it gets used, not that it just sits there alone.
Right.
It's in a great space. I think it makes a perfect space to kind of be in the park. You're surrounded by nature, and wherever it is will allow for people to kind of sort of have that minute to breathe, reflect, recenter.
Get the birds behind, the ducks and the frogs from time to time.
And if you can sit, super bonus, right?
Like absolutely.
Just a great place to, just take a moment. So, I don't know. I am really excited to share this with the community and just really bring everybody into the fold and make sure that everybody feels that they've had some sort of connection to this personally. And really that they can see the good in its connections to the community and everybody else as well. I believe in healing with art, so.
Healing with heart, yes.
Healing with heart and the art in there being in caps because we're using our heart
absolutely.
And art to do so. And I think that's just the creative's outlet, right? Our visual artists use our art as the connection to everybody else. This is how we communicate.
Color, form, shape, texture, all of those things come to play in the visual arts.
Yeah. And I mentioned you writers.
I write, so I'll wordsmith and maybe throw a rhyme scheme in there, or at least a repetitive phrase.
Oh, it's so much deeper than that, Steve. Come on. You writers are incredible artists as well, because you get to strike on different nerves that we don't always get to share in our art. So we can use imagery to connect with you, but sometimes you might miss it. Sometimes you're connecting differently to what I'm painting, but when you use your words, you're using something that's very relatable to everyone.
Correct.
And so I like to say my husband, because he's a writer too, cries with his pen, because this is how he gets
between
his
the pen
out,
and the typewriter, the pencil, however you do it.
You poets are artists in your very different lane, but you are incredibly relatable to,
we're
to
just,
the communities.
We're using the words to try and conjure the image of that word in the other. And you're using the visual oils, watercolors, paints, whatever's to create the image, but it's still getting to a point. And then theoretically, and maybe not just theoretically, actually forcing us or encouraging us to ask some questions.
Sure. I absolutely see it as permission. Just kind of permission to have this conversation, just a icebreaker to have this conversation, just a bridge, a conduit, a way to say, you know what, I am not going to hurt anybody's feelings if I say it, what this art is about. If I try to express what I see here, that makes it a lot less threatening to the person across the table who doesn't see it that way, or who might now take a message from this that they didn't have before. And just that trying to connect with people and understanding that people view things differently, that there is no wrong way. It's just how it is personal to you.
And my choice in the words, because I live with the words reporting, the words clearly matter. And as we talked and we've had in other conversations, I think, you know, I can talk about a green lawn and you can have your image of a green lawn. Green is going to be green, and yet there are thousands of shades of green. And as long as it creates the image of a green lawn, that's what we're talking about. That's fine. But then if it comes down to this particular color needs to be matched to continue to the pattern, you need that exact green, whatever the number consequences are, in order for it to fit in there. But words are somewhat like that, because if I conjure the green, but you start thinking of blue, well, we're not on the same page.
Right. You're meaning grass? I'm thinking sea green. Why not the ocean? Why are we not talking about the deep water? I don't know. So I think... Yeah, there are differences, but at the same time, still life, right? Both of those are movement and energy and our earth and our
getting
our
to
world
the thought process, the processing of it, the questions, and potentially the conversations and the readiness and accessibility. Some poetry, clearly acknowledged, is not necessarily accessible. Yeah. It forces a lot of the reader to do something.
Yeah.
I choose not to do that. I think Jamal, having seen and heard some of his stuff, he's got a different expression, but it's much more accessible to that extent, right? And there's a variety. There's others. But once it's out there, then hopefully the image or the idea or the question will then foster the conversation. And there's some conversations that, particularly around grief and loss, et cetera, that are hard, and you're not necessarily ready for that.
Not ready, right.
But at least there's an awareness, and now you're creating a space that's going to be accessible. So create the awareness. The space is there when you need it.
It's when you're ready. And you know what? To know that you would go to a space that is not threatening right? Mm-hmm. You're not surrounded with right. someone who's waiting to talk to you and face a part of you that maybe you're not ready to talk about, but mm-hmm. you are ready enough
right.
to go and sit in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then even having contact information and numbers that you can, okay, you know what, I'm here, but now I feel some sort of way and I want to talk about
step.
It. I'm ready to talk about it. You know, who can I contact? And mm-hmm. this is like, now you don't have to look it up. You can snap yeah. a photo and you
it's
have
right
that
there.
List and it's accessible for you to do what you will. I've done this a couple of different projects too, where I had sort of created a QR code
mm-hmm.
with a list of information and numbers that you can, you know, contact resources for communities that, you know, just kind of needed that ease. You just mm-hmm. snap a photo of it and you don't have to talk to anybody at the moment if you're not ready to, but you can go back to it later. Now you have it in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want to take a picture and you want to write it down. That's fine.
Right.
It's in the space.
Yeah. Or at least know that it's there and you go back and get it.
Right. And I
think
that's
many ways
important.
To do that. Yes.
Because most people, you know, you get kind of, like we talked about, you know, going on to the next task and kind of getting lost in the first task,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you decide, I'm going to start looking up this number and maybe I'll look at the weather instead. And you talked yourself
or
off of or away.
With the world, if it's bombarding us instantaneously with other things that are happening between weather, politics, international incidents, you name it, things are just
right.
can be overwhelming, and you just
and so you can.
You're trying to skid along, you know, maintaining some sanity.
Right, and so this kind of makes it a little easier. You're not mm-hmm. having to dig for anything. You
right.
have a whole list. There's options. There are varieties. And of course, there's that important element of like grief and loss for children. You know, maybe there was a
right.
parent, maybe there was
sure.
a grandparent, maybe there was, you know, a sibling. There are these incidents where, you know, we're very focused on the adults that are
mm-hmm.
going through this process, who
sure.
are there for these children.
Yep.
But then there are also the kids and what they perceive this to be. You know, kids
right.
at nine
right.
start understanding death as, okay, we'll
yeah.
never see them again.
Right.
And some kids understand that even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't, you know, as concrete, and it's final right around nine. So
right.
this is a very young age where,
yeah.
you know, it changes some things
yeah.
for kids. So
you're
they
in
need
class,
to
a classmate's
that.
There, then all of a sudden the classmate doesn't come back, and you don't know why.
Right.
Maybe their treatment has just taken them for another step, and
right.
who knows? Yeah. And how do they process that?
Right. And then it's, you know, it's important to know, like, you know, there's high school, all the new drivers, and there are
yes.
accidents that, I mean, there are a ton of things that could happen, right? But these populations that we, it's everybody, right? There's
yeah.
there's the older age that we need to consider with accessibility and sitting down and just having that minute to quietly reflect in a space that
mm-hmm.
isn't going to be overrun by sound and people and,
sure.
and noise. And
yeah.
then there are the kids who need to, you know what, I need to take a minute and process this for a second. And then maybe I'm feeling away. Maybe my, you know, parents don't, I want to talk to somebody now. Here's
mm-hmm.
here's a list of numbers you
sure.
can contact, right?
Right.
But just kind of that openness that it can be for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just wanted to take that into account. So, yes, it's a wind phone. And, yes, you know, having the artwork in there, I think, was a different way to make it connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty. It's less threatening.
Sure.
I can
right.
sit in there. It feels like it's calming once I'm in there.
Right.
And then, you know, the community part of that. You
sure.
know, add a rock to this. Make yourself part of this. Understand that this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
If your friend is sad, it's okay if, you know, your relative is sad. Maybe now you understand
mm-hmm.
a little better why they're sad. Because
right.
it initiates that conversation.
Well, and that's the one piece that no matter where we are in our stage of life, we know somebody who's lost something.
Of course.
We're not alone in that piece. And yet we can be together if we find out. And if we're safe enough to share, then, oh, you did that? Yeah, I did this. And then that togetherness may be a help.
Oh, yeah, because it's universal, right? This is the one really big relatable thing all of us have
mm-hmm.
experienced.
Right.
I can't even say or will. I feel like at this point, everybody, well, maybe a young child hasn't. But, you know, this is something
there
that
might
you
might be some
you,
exceptions here and there,
will,
but
yeah,
at some point.
You either have or you will.
Right.
Most certainly experience this. And this is kind of a way to say, you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. And at the end of the day, it's not all really heavy sadness. It's a celebration. It's a, you know, there are some things that maybe we talk about memories. Maybe I want to, you know, remember my loved one in this way, not
sure.
in their final days.
The happy moments, not the sad ones.
Right.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, it's being ready and it's going to the space first, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or taking
yep.
the moment first to say, you know, this happened. Which is usually where we kind of trip up a little bit. This happened, right?
Yeah.
Like for my mom was the longest goodbye, I would say. I loved her so much. I my mom ended up with cancer, and one of the biggest struggles for me in caring for her was knowing that she was gonna go. She
sure.
had this very aggressive stage
mm-hmm.
4 when we found out.
Right.
And it was just knowing there was nothing I could do,
right
to stop
yeah,
that from happening.
You were helpless at that point. Yeah.
We did treatments. We did,
right.
I mean, miracles happen, right?
True.
She
yeah.
ended up, like, she was a fighter for sure. She was 100% like, this is not going to take me down. And
uh-huh.
yeah, you've got 50% yes or no. She's like, let's do it. How are you going to do the surgery? And
yeah.
she went and did a whole bunch of treatments
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of things. And it bought her another 2 or 3 years.
Right.
But the hardest part of that beginning stage for me was knowing that I couldn't do anything.
Right.
I had to really take a step back and pull myself out of being her daughter almost
mm-hmm.
and push into being a caregiver. And I have
yeah.
20 plus years of experience in different areas of healthcare. And this is a lot that people don't know about me because I'm an artist, right?
Well, this is the stage of life, but we don't know what was before it.
Right. But this is why it's such a combination of passions for me to create
sure.
art yep. around healing. Because there is that element that I get to do both.
We'll have to do another session to develop that side of that story because I've never heard that part of it.
Yeah, this is like me as a whole is you know, just bringing those things together.
Yes.
So I had to really pull myself out of I'm her daughter to
right.
I'm her caregiver. And in this way, I think
yeah.
it brought her the most benefit,
mm-hmm.
brought us ultimately the most benefit. She
right.
got another 3 years,
yeah.
which we were so grateful for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it changed a lot for us
yep.
in our relationship and just how we had more time and were able to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that is not the case
right.
for everyone, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So that doesn't mean it was easier for me to process. That delayed it, actually,
correct.
Because
right.
I had to step out of that role. So for me, something like the wind phone back
mm-hmm.
at that point would have
sure.
been more helpful because
yeah.
I would have had the time to
mm-hmm.
say, okay, I need to kind of pull away and go into this space and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, release.
Yeah,
and
for
people
sure.
release differently, right? Some
yep.
people are artists, some people are writers,
mm-hmm.
some people are musicians,
mm-hmm.
and in all the arts, some people just create things. Furniture or, you know, however
mm-hmm.
your outlet is.
You can
knit,
just be
a
mother and a father being creative in the
yeah.
family, making the family work is that is in itself an art.
Absolutely. I think like people find different ways to
right.
release.
Sure.
So this space is also a permissible space for
mm-hmm.
you to release. You know, maybe you're going to go sit there and draw a picture or read a book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know, but I think wherever you are in your phase of processing
mm-hmm.
that it will be a welcome space for you to come. So
right.
I hope that people use it
and
know that it's there and share that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we will have more of these coming and they'll be pretty local. Actually, the woman who is
keeping the track, tracker.
She is developing one for her own daughter.
Or
in tribute to her own daughter.
Sure.
It's for everyone.
Right.
In Sherbourne.
Sherbourne. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not that far.
Nope.
It's very close.
It's
not that far. Nope. And I think there's, well, as we said, I think it was 6 or 7 at the time were here in mass, but there were more coming. So, yeah.
So we'll see. Include I know there's one in Dover, and there's a couple that are a little further out. But.
Yeah. We'll include in the link to the show notes, you know, for the tracker piece. I think we included it before. We'll refresh that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I think these are everywhere, and they're all different. They can look as simple as a phone on a tree. They can be a seated space. They can be a booth.
Sure.
Or what I'm hoping to create is a beautiful garden arbor and space that is surrounded by nature and that the community is able to sort of be part of.
Right.
So that, you know.
Yeah, that sounds good. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting it. I appreciate that you have been on board from the beginning with supporting something like this here.
Well, it matters.
Thank you. I think it does. And I'm happy to see when there are like-minded people that see a need for a type of art that might bring forth some sort of healing, that might bring some sort of connection with other people, or a kind of art that might provide people a space.
Yeah,
it's more than just a painted picture. It wasn't what I was feeling for the day. It is. It has intention. It has purpose. So the wind phone encased in this art has purpose. The one in Natick has its own bench with its own piece, and it's completely coated in forget-me-nots. For me, that was the most personal it can get, right?
Sure,
outside of the butterfly story.
Butterflies, yep.
Because forget-me-nots for me was a way for me to remember my family members.
Sure.
And when we moved to our place, I had threw a bunch of seeds at the front of the house.
Uh-huh.
And so every June or July, we get like this beautiful field of like forget-me-nots in front of the house, which is kind of funny. The first year, I threw all the seeds up there because I was excited about, I'll be happy when these bloom. They'll always remind me of.
Right.
And then I forgot that I had done that. I forgot all about them. And then one morning I came out.
All of a sudden, the next year, boom.
They were just the most beautiful thing ever. So, yeah, I hope that people find connection and peace in it.
Yeah. Because between connection and then conversation, right? Good things generally happen when you start with a common point and recognize that, you know, we are in this together. We are not alone.
Yeah.
Good things can happen from that.
Right.
So.
Definitely coming out of self-isolation or any feelings of nobody gets it.
Right.
I think that it makes a huge difference for people to feel like they're not alone in things.
Right. It's not just you or I against the world. We need to be together.
Or just to feel like, you know, there is somebody that can help you.
Yes.
You know, not just that they've experienced it and we know how you feel, but how can I help you move to the next step?
The serendipity of those conversations. This comes up, that comes up. You did that, I did that. Oh, did you know so-and-so can do that? Oh, okay.
We have so much more in common than not. We do. I think for the most part, with all of the differences that are in the world, right? The physical abilities, thought process, politics, all of the things, right? All of the things that separate us, there are so many things in those and so many elements in those that are more alike than not. And we just have to remember to look at the things that are more alike than not. So we're so used to, you know, this idea of separation and division, where we look at things on a greater scheme and what's different? Let's take that out. Let's move that from this space or this group. That's what's the odd one out kind of thing, as opposed to, well, what might be similar about that to everything else? Mm-hmm. And how can we relate that somehow to everything else? I think everything and everybody just ultimately want to be included in something. And it works if it's something positive and we're all working toward uplifting each other with a good goal.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you for taking time to share.
Thanks for having me.
This has been, you know, it's always a joy to have a conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Same with you.
Yes.
I appreciate you having me come back and share about this. think it's important, and I'm super excited to share again with the community. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you bringing me on to talk about it.
We hope we'll see it up and operating and lots of people
soon enough
soon using it over time. Clearly not everybody can use it at once, but over time, just keep coming back. It's going to be there whenever you're ready. It's accessible. Well, thank you again for doing this. And to listeners, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Coming near and dear to us at the Sculpture Park will be a wind phone.
Yay!
We'll be able to use it beyond May, whenever it's installed, for a good period of time, for whatever the need is, when we're ready for it.
Exactly.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And a quick reminder to listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.